Thanks. On the agenda, it says we are to adjourn to closed session at time certain of 10:15, which it is not yet. We also have a legal counsel report that's for 30 minutes. So
motion I think to we're, extend for 15 minutes.
Thank
you. Second minutes.
Thank you. This also means that we would have to, we won't get to the motion or the resolution on clarification of cab seats and elections. And so we'll have to postpone that one. Arthur, would you like to make your report here?
Sure.
Thank you.
I'm going to report about two things. First, the litigation that's been going on with New Day, which began last August. We originally sued just for declaratory judgment that the ruling of the national election supervisor that approval by two classes of voters was proper, and that the use of our, actually that's how it started, and then we amended it to stop the use of names derived from our mailing list to raise money for prospective litigation that New Day was advertising. The New Day people took about, after trying to move the case to Alameda County, we were sued in Los Angeles. We tussled about that for a few months. It stayed in Los Angeles. And they then filed a counterclaim, which we moved to dismiss. And then on the eve of that discussion, they filed a second counterclaim. We moved to dismiss. The judge dismissed it, but gave them a chance to replete it. They filed a third counterclaim. The judge struck it. Then they had joined in some people some people joined in the lawsuit as counterclaimants, even though they hadn't been sued. So now we got a fourth iteration of a counterclaim, which we were about to move to dismiss. And now we have a new complaint from half of their former clients, with another lawyer, basically asking the same thing. So I finally said to Jan Goodman and Jerry Manperl, look, this is getting stupid because you keep filing counterclaims, which is just the polar opposite of what we're trying to do. You're saying the judge should rule your way and we're saying the judge should rule our way. Why don't we just agree on a set of facts, submit it to the judge, and let the judge rule? And we actually worked out an agreement to do that so that no more of this procedural litigation, which has been somewhat expensive. So we are, I think our goal is we have a conference with the judge in early May, in early June, so that during May we'll work out a stipulation of essential facts, and then we'll ask the judge to rule on two questions. The first is, was the National Election Supervisor's decision violative of either the bylaws or California corporation law? And the second would be, was the disqualification of four LSB candidates in KPFK a violation of the Pacifica Constitution? There's no state law that really, the Pacifica bylaws, sorry. There's no state law that applies. So we agreed the third question is it lawful for New Day to utilize names that derive from our mailing list to raise funds and send out communications? So those three questions, we agreed those are the three questions we'll get a judge to answer. The facts really aren't very much in dispute. It's how you read the facts in light of the law. And hopefully that will tie up that litigation, and I'm very happy and appreciate that Jerry and Jan reacted so quickly to agree to do that. So, and that should save us a lot of money. The second thing is that we got a decision in the it's a lawsuit that was heard by an arbitrator from John Verniel. And I did write up a report which does not have to be kept confidential, which is why I'm reporting at the open meeting. The arbitrator made two rulings. The first part is she denied Mr. Verniel's allegation that he was fired because he was a whistleblower. After 20 pages of outlining all of his alleged whistleblowing, she found that Mr. Verniel, just read the exact words so nobody says I misquoted her, that Pacifica has proven by clear and convincing evidence that the PNB terminated his employment primarily because it decided that he had exceeded his authority when he shut down WBAI's local programming and discharged its staff without full PNB approval, and further that he exceeded his authority by not reversing that decision until ordered to do so by Judge Crane. So his termination lawsuit, his allegation that he just laid people off, his assertion that he had the right to do this without a vote of the PNB, was found baseless by the arbitrator. I wish she had spent more time discussing that instead of all of his 20 pages of allegations of wrongdoing, but she did that. So we were happy, but then he had a claim against us for defamation. Now, she did say that Mr. Verniel had acted in excess of his authority and that he was part of a minority on the board when he acted that way. But then she had to consider his defamation claim. So the way the defamation claim arose was we had a seven-day trial, and those hearings went minimum 10 hours. Some people on the board actually listened, and I appreciated they were here there. We had one day that went 12 hours. And we never discussed defamation, didn't come up. At the end of the trial, the arbitrator said, if there were any exhibits that people didn't put in, please give me a list. And so on Verniel's list was 14 hours of tape of various radio shows on WBAI, which he said were his proof of defamation. Now, we didn't take any testimony about defamation. We didn't know what statements he said were defamatory. They had not been outlined as would be normally required under California law. You have to state exactly what statement was defamatory. He said, here's this pile of tape. You can find defamation in these 14 hours of tape. That went over about a year and a half. And I blew a fit about it, frankly. The arbitrator decided to let it in, and she said she would let us submit a reply brief, and told them they had to outline what the defamation was in their initial post-arbitration brief, in that brief, they still referred to 8 or 9 hours worth of tape and said it contained comments such as Verniel being called a crook, a rat, a neoliberal, a racist, and other things like that. The arbitrator found that we also argued that Verniel was what they call in California a limited public figure, which means that you have to prove that anything said about him was said with a reckless disregard for the truth, just like the New York Times standard on that journalists have to go by when they're dealing with a public figure. the arbitrator said that there was one program, I believe it was on November 8th, 2019, the day after the station went back on the air on November 7th, where the WBAI program director made the following statements that she said were defamatory. That she said Verniel was hired to carry out a plan to sell WBAI for millions and millions of dollars to the benefit of other stations. That Verniel was part of a rogue group who had staged a coup. That the plan had been in the works for a long time to dump WBAI, and that Verniel was brought on board as part of his plan to steal our station. Those are the four defamatory statements she said were made about him. And she said that what was interesting is she said he was part of a minority and he acted in excess of his authority, but that he saying that he had staged a coup was not opinion, and it was defamation per se. And she said that Pacifica was vicariously liable as the program manager's employer for her statements because they were made willfully and maliciously, which of course there had been no testimony about. The program manager had testified at the hearing because she actually stayed with Mr. Verniel and Mr. Crozier during the day that WBI was shut down, playing along as though she were supportive of what they were doing. And then she said that, that they were made with a reckless disregard of the truth because the statements were made by someone who was angry and hostile, which is not the standard. And then she said that the statements, not the finding that he acted in excess of his authority or that he had shut down a radio station and terminated every employee of the radio station, that was not injurious to his professional career, but that those statements made by Linda were injurious to his professional career. She said, what broadcaster would want to hire someone who acted as a rogue and staged a coup? There had been no testimony about the impact on Verniel's career. And then she said he was not required to prove his damages and awarded him $300,000. As I said, none of that was ever explored during the course of the trial. There are two reactions that I have. One is we will, in conjunction with a number of First Amendment free speech groups in California, be seeking to vacate the arbitration award on a number of grounds, including that our due process was denied and on the grounds that her findings are totally contrary to California law. Mr. Verniel has already gone to court to enforce the arbitration award, and he is using Mr. Goldmacher's lawyer to do that. So that my first reaction is it's, you know, we have to attack it. I think that litigation will take a while to play itself out. But the other thing is the dangerous part about this, and it sort of flows well off of the last discussion that the board was having, is Pacifica was found liable for $300,000 because of something that someone speaking on one of our stations said, and they said somebody was part of a rogue group, had staged a coup, and the arbitrator is basically saying that Pacifica can be sued as long as the person was angry and hostile for money damages. And that is a very, very, very dangerous precedent that we all should we all should oppose. And that's the issue that I'm taking to the free speech folks. I'm trying to line up pro bono counsel. I think they will see the danger of free speech radio being sued for $300,000 because of some statements such as the ones that were made And interestingly, not considered to be opinion, that he was a crook is opinion, but that he was part of a rogue group staging a coup was not opinion. That's a very, very dangerous ruling. So we will be seeking to vacate it. Luckily, Mr. Goldmacher's lawyer sued us in Los Angeles, so we don't have to deal with somebody suing us in Alameda, which is where people that don't like Pacifica like to sue. So that's the story.
Point of information.
And while I'm giving this report, that attorney is threatening me. He's sending emails threatening me for, I don't know what, defaming him.
Susan, we have a little bit of a stack. So Lawrence, you were first. Then you're next, Susan.
Thank you. I think one of the things that we need to do, and I've had this conversation with Stephanie, is that each board member should be required to take an ethics criteria. I think that should be something, and I will be developing a motion for that to happen. We need to develop an ethics exam or questionnaire, multiple, whatever it is. I just got seated on my executive board for my union local. And before they would even swear me in, I'm required to take this ethics exam. And I think along with signing off on the NDA and the electronic communication document, I think that's something that each of us should do moving forward. So I will work to develop that motion, because I think it's highly necessary. Not that I'm questioning anybody's ethics, but I think it's a best practice that we do that. So I'm hoping that I could work with Stephanie to make that happen, because I think that's a very critical thing to do. So my question is, Arthur, to you is, will you be providing your report to the board, to those that have signed the NDA and the electronic communication document? Because that's something I would definitely like to digest completely. And I think it's part of our capacity. Thank you. I just need 15 seconds. That's part of our capacity to be able to digest that information. Because, and my last question to you, Arthur, did you post a notice to appeal, or is your strategy to coalesce with the free speech groups? Thank you.
I didn't understand your last question.
My last question is, did you notice an appeal to that decision, or is your strategy to work with the free speech groups
to approve?
Well, I would have to. I would have to.
Hang on, Donald. You're not recognized. Donald, just you can be on the stack, but you're not recognized yet. It's Arthur's turn. Go ahead.
It will be since Verniel started a case first, so we would basically counter claim. I think to vacate, he's seeking enforcement, and I would have to engage California counsel and then be admitted pro hoc. On the arbitration, I was allowed to do it without you don't have to be a California lawyer as long as you notify the bar. I did Mr. Jaffe, Mr. Verniel, and Mr. Goldmacher's lawyer brought ethics charges against me for handling the Verniel case. That was dismissed by the California bar. He said it was unethical for me to do that. The bar disagreed. I will be looking for California pro bono counsel to work with us on this, because I think it's a critical first free speech issue for radio people.
And can you address the ethics requirement?
No,
that's a good idea?
No, I think, also my report is, I wrote it in such a way that you could give it to anybody. That's why I'm reporting at a public meeting. And it's not a secret. Everything that I said to you times four will be in our reply paper, in our papers that we file with the court. So which are public records. So there's nothing secret here. You could tell anybody anything you want about what I just said. I do think that, you'll see, you all got an email from me. The PNB people got an email from me. I'm going back and forth with Mr. Jaffe, Mr. Goldmacher's lawyer, who is threatening to sue us again over repressing Mr. Goldmacher's rights to participate in board meetings. But I do think that there are ethical issues involved with, sitting in on confidential, when I do make confidential reports to the board, and then feeling free to repeat with the violating the corporation's privilege. And we have executive sessions exactly so that material can remain confidential. And I think that, having a ethics code, that board members are bound by is a very good thing. And there are model codes under California law that exist.
Thanks. Susan Young and then Jim Dingman.
Yeah, first I'd like to say, I wish you would stop the ongoing attack of Donald Goldmacher. And I doubt that he is paying for the attorney in this case or is a part of this litigation. Two questions. Will you seek PNB or are you seeking PNB authorization to move forward with a counterclaim? And how much will that cost? And what is the likelihood of vacating a binding arbitration agreement?
Okay. I was not planning to seek PNB approval of trying to defeat a $300,000 award against us. It seems like, if somebody can make a motion that we should just pay the $300,000, I guess, but otherwise I think it's my obligation defending the case to do that. The other question you asked, what was the second question?
Second question is, how frequently are arbitration decisions reversed? For binding arbitration that's part of an employment contract.
How frequently? I can't give you percentages. Does it happen? Yes, it happens all the time. And I argue these in New York all the time, and the grounds in California are very similar. And I've won in New York.
Did you win in California?
Thanks. Jim Dingman? And then Jim Sagerton.
Thank you, Arthur. Wow. $300,000. Wow. I believe, and I think, that it was intentionality in everything that went down in New York. I believe that's my point of view about it. And I lived through that entire process of what occurred. So I think that indeed it was a intentional act. No ambiguity about that, I think. Now, is there something in the state of California that makes it so much easier for us to be engaged in these constant legal battles that seem, I think, to have the deliberate aim, I think, to essentially further weaken the foundation with frivolous expenses and lawsuits? Because if one juxtaposes that with what we just heard in a debate about the deficit spending at each station, which is not related directly to those lawsuits, it would seem that it would make sense, I think, for somebody to engage in a strategy like this to just simply have social, hostile work environment lawsuits, harassment lawsuits, this kind of lawsuit that Mr. Verniel engaged in, which I think when you add it all up, amounts to another, $500,000-$700,000 down the tubes. And I was just curious, Arthur, if you could end this with what other lawsuits do we see pending that are costing us more money along with this one?
Well, the Verniel lawsuit, I didn't charge above my retainer. I think maybe in December when I had 5 days in a row of and I exceeded my 20 hours a month. But so it didn't cost us a lot to litigate it. We had to pay the arbitrator. we paid 35 and I think we still are 16. Because under California law, we should know this from now on, the employer has to pay for arbitration. What other lawsuits do we have? Well, we don't have a lot of other lawsuits. I mean, I've worked really hard. We have the New Day one, which we just agreed to basically streamline. And then we have the Turner Goldmarker versus Pacifica case, which is on appeal. And I'm trying to actually ask the attorneys involved to give us a flat rate instead of, having an open checkbook, on their appeal brief. And I think that's it. We don't have any other litigation going on. Tonight you'll get in your email, Mr. Jaffe, who on behalf of Mr. Goldmacher is threatening all kinds of other lawsuits. But, and I'm sorry, Susan, Mr. Jaffe uses Mr. Goldmacher's name. I don't.
What about the one with Alex and Grace?
Yeah, that's the same one.
Okay. Well, I would want, as a member of the board, to have some clarification as to the laws of California and how they preempt our bylaws in general and things
like that. No, I don't. They don't preempt. Nothing preempts the bylaws. It's just as easy to sue. And the reason we won meaning at that time I was suing Pacifica, the WBAI case, is because the bylaws were violated. So we sued in New York. You can make the same claim in many places. And we said the bylaws were violated in New York, and the judge found they were. So most of these lawsuits have to do with bylaw violations. In California, it does have this whistleblower law that some states don't have. So that that's what the Radford case was brought under, and that's what the Verniel case was brought under. And although Verniel could have just sued for breach of contract, and you know that is allowed, so you can do that in any state. But California does have this whistleblower law that you don't find in. We don't have it in New York. They have it in New Jersey. You know, it's, every state is different.
Jim Sagerton, and then Egberto.
Thank you, Julie. Arthur, did I hear you saying that as you were speaking, you were getting messages from someone, an attorney?
Yeah, he just came in. I mean,
right now,
he just came in.
Who does that?
Stephen Jaffe. He says he's said if we make Mr. Goldmacher sign a confidentiality statement, he will bring suit against or he'll take action against me, against the foundation, whatever. And I don't want to discuss that further in open session.
All right.
I understand. Thank you.
Is that it, Jim? Egberto.
Arthur, fiduciary responsibility as the Pacifica, and I imagine to the people who donate to us. If I understand the lawyer correctly, do you say that the four items that you mentioned was stated on the radio qualify somebody to get $300,000? I'm in the wrong business.
That's what the arbitrator said.
Let me finish, please. Please let me finish.
That's right.
I'm in the wrong business. Okay. I didn't understand this as being this way at all. This is offensive. But let me go a little bit further. I am a radio personality, and it behooves me. If I make a mistake, I'm willing to go on the radio and tell everybody, I am so sorry I made a mistake in saying this about this person. If you love Pacifica, isn't that something that you do? You actually say, I made a mistake, Mr. Whomever it is that's getting $300,000, and to correct the record. Correct the record as far as you screwing up to prevent any eventuality of that person possibly being accused later on of getting a job. $300,000 is a lot of damn money. I'm just a person here, trying to do good in the world and make this a better place. $300,000? Thank you.
Do you have a timekeeper?
I'm sorry, what was that, Lawrence?
We are
30 minutes, so past 30 minutes for this item.
Teresa was on the stack. Can you make it quick, Teresa?
You're muted.
Obviously, George Carlin, who was attempting to make a point on Pacifica Airwaves, that cost Pacifica a lot of money. And I remember a case, I guess about maybe 17 years ago, what's his name? Oh, just died. Well, someone with a prison show made a comment about someone and they sued. And I guess that to settle that cost about $9,000. Do I understand this correctly, Mr. Schwartz? If an attorney is filing suit against Pacifica and a member of this board communicated with that attorney and talked about the strategy or something like that, that would be unethical, correct? Unethical on the part of the attorney or on the part of the person on the board?
If the person on the board communicated confidential information, so I made a point, everything I said today, not confidential, but if I said something that was confidential and the board member communicated it to the attorney would be committing an ethics violation and the board member would be committing a violation of his duty of loyalty to the corporation.
Mm-hmm. Okay. His or her. Okay. So actually discussing strategy or anything like that with an attorney would not be acceptable, right?
As long as when I'm talking confidentially to the board, the confidentiality belongs to the corporation and he sent me another email. The confidentiality belongs to the corporation and the corporation has the right is the only entity that has a right to waive it, and no director can report what an attorney says to another attorney, or actually to anybody without violating their duty of confidentiality. Because okay. It's the corporation's right. It's the corporation's confidentiality so only the corporation can waive it. If you have a conversation with your own lawyer, And that lawyer holds it in confidence, and then you tell somebody else, that's you, it's yours to, you know, blab, right? But when a corporation has a confidential conversation with its lawyer, it's not the director's right to blab it.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks. Darlene? And then we'll...
This is not about a lawsuit, but it is a legal matter of a lot of money that's very pressing on us at KPFA, which is what is happening with the supposedly solved tax, property tax case.
I believe it's resolved. I think it's, we passed the resolution that we needed passed. It's been filed with the appropriate tax authority. As far as I know,
the property tax authority? Because at KPFA, and as far as we could tell at the tax bureau, don't ask me the exact name, it's not filed. Nothing's come through.
I'll check. I thought it was all, you know, tied up. I can tell you that sometimes people call government agencies and they get the wrong information, like somebody made a big deal a couple of years ago about that WBAI was in violation of the New York Attorney General's rules about nonprofits and couldn't collect money. And when I checked their records, it wasn't accurate. And so whoever they called gave them the wrong information.
All right. We have a check that our business manager is dying to write to get this finished. So...
Darlene, I will get on it tomorrow and find out what's going on.
Thank you.
Thanks, Darlene. So this was, that was the last item in open session. And so I would entertain a motion to adjourn to closed session and start the closed session in 5 minutes.
I make a motion to close the meeting.
Thank you. Any objections?
No.
Hearing none. Polina, could you cut the stream?
And can we take five?
And we're adjourned. And yes, we will take five. So it, so make it 45 minutes past the hour that we come back, folks. Thanks.